With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the NFL.
What's up, party people in the house? It's Dynasty War Games. I'm here. I'm your host. I'm Jesse Schneeman. And we're here right in front of you right now, bringing you a game, some value talk, and whatever else we think of. Definitely some trade talk tonight. I'm here with my main man, Chad Mendoza. How you doing tonight, Chad?
Great. Fantastic. Happy to be here.
Fantastic.
Your fault. We're late. Ready to podcast.
I hear it's a little bit.
Mostly late. Mike's fault. It was going to be my fault, and then Mike was later than I was, so he kind of bailed me out a little bit.
Okay, my right 7-year-old is cool. She's asleep.
Okay. Did you take my advice? Also, we're here with Captain Mike Casper. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Jesse? Yeah, no, I definitely did not. That would have delayed me probably another 15 minutes if I would have terrified.
Having her to apologize several times. And yeah,
I told Mike to tell her there's a monster waiting outside that eats kids that aren't asleep by 9:15 Central time.
That would have ended so bad.
Well, you know, my kids would have been petrified their entire lives if that actually happened. Anyway, it's time for some war games. All right. Originally, we were going to do some strategy talk. Actually, it wasn't strategy talk. We were going to talk theory. We were going to talk process, but again, Chad and his technical difficulties that delayed us to next week. So we're going to start off by talking a little Deshaun Watson. I know that there's a shitload of opinions out there. I guess my first question is, Mike, as a Deshaun Watson owner, what's it taking for you to sell him right now? You know, on a team where you want to compete, let's say not Einstein's, where, you know, there's an Einstein's league that we're in together where I tried to make a deal earlier, but Mike's got too much depth. It doesn't really matter. So like on a team where you're trying to compete, you have one stud quarterback and two like iffy quarterbacks, and Watson, what's it take to get Watson from you?
I mean, to be completely honest at this point, if I'm a Watson owner, I don't think I'm selling. Kind of period, unless it's a really good offer, which I don't know. It would have to be, you know, if it was maybe in that Matt Stafford kind of realm.
Wow.
I think I'd probably consider that. But I really think, based off of the legal jargon that I've heard, and I'm obviously not an expert, but I listen to a lot of different podcasts, right? Six games, NFL obviously thought that was going to be too little, right? But six games is based off of the precedent that the NFL has set, right? Like, again, not court of public opinion here, just court of what's happened and what I think personally will happen, right? So with this appeal, you know, if the NFL tries to go for a full season, then they're going to get sued by the NFL. And it's going to be a really long, crazy, you know, drawn out legal battle, right? I honestly think it's going to be 8 games. I think the Watson's camp is, or the NFLPA said, you know, they kind of expected 6 to 8 games based off of historical precedent, which is what they usually go off of in the general court of law, not just the NFL. Granted, the NFL set a bad precedent in the past with that. So I think for Goodell to save face, he's going to be like, well, see, I did it and tried to do as much as we could. So we settled at 8, you know, and once football starts up again, and I'm curious to see when that decision comes, because I'm hoping it comes before the season. So that way kickoff can just kind of shadow over everything, and then games start, and then Watson shows up week nine and things continue. So in all honesty, I wouldn't be moving him if I was an owner, unless you're extremely terrified. But it's kind of like Memphis said last season, you kind of pretend he's on IR, and I'm going to pretend he's on a, you know, 6-game PED suspension right now until I find out what's really happening. But I don't think it's going to be the whole year. I really don't.
Gotcha.
That's just my opinion.
I think there's still a really good chance. Chad, are you still with us? He's muted. So,
yeah, I'm with you guys. I'll be back in 1 second. I'm just trying to take care of something real quick.
Okay, take your time. So I'm having a hard time deciding figuring out what I would do if I had Watson on a contender, because I don't. I have Watson. I think I have one share, and it's on a rebuild. I just haven't been able to buy him. I haven't really been able to get him too much. Actually, I have two shares now that I think about it. One is in the new Patreon league that we drafted.
Yeah. I have three, so yeah.
You know, I went out and tried to buy him in a bunch of leagues. I realized that I have three rebuild teams with Derek Carr. Right? So I thought, you know, if I were contending, you know, if I had a stud and two iffy quarterbacks, I might want that Derek Carr. I might want a guy that I believe is going to be a back end quarterback one this year and for a few years to go. What's he, around 33?
Yeah, something like that, early 30s, I assume.
He's the Stafford Russ range.
Yeah.
You know, he's got elite weapons. I think he's been really, really damn good in fantasy. I think I might do that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went out and offered it on these teams where I'm rebuilding, because I don't care. I don't care if I have to sit on Watson for 2 years. But that's the other thing that concerns me, is what if the appeal comes back as indefinite suspension and apply to be reinstated after a year? The NFLPA is going to freak out and go to court, get an injunction. This could drag on for a year. He could end up being suspended in 2023.
Yeah, but if it's in court, I'm pretty sure he still plays. Like, he would serve out his 6-game suspension. Yeah.
Well, yeah. If it's in court, I think all that does is delay the suspension. I'm not a lawyer, but they'd be suing against
the NFL.
But a CBA that they agreed to, you know, a process that they signed off on.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little bit into the weeds here. Like,
yeah, we're getting too much into the weeds.
You're right. I'm just trying to bring up what the possibilities are. So I guess. Maybe it's kind of tough to nail down his
value. The reason, too, why, like, Carr isn't someone that I would want is because it's – I don't know. It's like, it's new offense, new head coach. He's got new weapons. Like, it might take 4 games before Carr's putting up the numbers that we're talking about with that offense. You know, four or six games.
You can say the same thing about Watson.
Oh, absolutely. But, like, I know what Watson's ceiling is high above that of Derek Carr, right? So
– true.
That's why I'd be more than willing to keep him.
Yeah. So something that Chad brought up in our DWZ Patreon chat a while back, day or two ago, that I thought was interesting. Chad, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Can you talk about, like you said, you had a conversation with one of your friends about what the owners would think about this going to court?
Yeah. So, yeah, a few days ago, I was talking to one of my buddies, and he's an energy company lawyer for oil and gas and stuff. So that, I just want to preface it with that, you know, he doesn't do law for sports companies and, you know, franchises and crazy shit like that. But anyways, he just said that, you know, based on, you know, some of the vague understanding that he has of the CBA and you know, the ruling by Sue Robinson, it's going to be tough for the NFL to take this to court and all of the owners be on board. So they may get some significant pushback, because her ruling does specifically talk about how the owners are not held to a standard that is set above the players. And that it, I'm sorry, there's a lot in my background here. Hold on.
Excuse me. But well, the reason I brought this up is because Donaldson brought the same thing up in our chat. David Donaldson, one of our Patreon members, friend to the show, former guest on the show. But yeah, he said several owners, there are several owners who might not want their own discretions brought up in federal court. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, sorry, I'm back. That's fine. Anyways, yeah, so he was just saying that it's going to be one thing where, you know, the league office is the one that's pushing for this to go to court, and they're going to get pushback from ownership, and it's not going to be a very good thing. And that's beside the point of precedence, which this is not setting a good one for the first case under the new CBA. So he just thought that he was surprised that this was even happening at all. But the league office must be really, really upset about this sixth game to even, you know, go here. But, you know, they're not taking ownership's consideration, more than likely not taking the ownership's consideration into all this. And that's why he said that he would bet on them not adding a significant number of games and wanting this to, you know, get to federal court when it eventually does.
Another two games, you know, eight games total and a fine. $5 or $10 million fine seems like something that hopefully both sides can swallow. I think the rest of the community can swallow it. I think we all just want a resolution.
Yeah. No. And Mike Kinney's right. He said Watson's side didn't appeal the suspension. Yeah. No. Players Union didn't appeal it. So it's six games or greater, no matter what.
Like, are you raking your lawn, Mike?
No, I've got a pack of peas on my balls. Sorry.
Oh my god, I'm so glad I asked about that noise.
Sorry, I was totally oblivious. Yeah, the second
oh, it's awesome. So,
still rocking that every now and then.
Best question I have ever asked.
I'll try to mute it next time.
No, that's great. Now that we know, totally
pantsless for this podcast. I'm sure everybody wants to know.
All right, on that note, what's everybody drinking tonight, Mike?
I had a Pepsi Nitro. Which is basically flat Pepsi, but it's fun for us Mormon folk or LDS folk that don't drink beer very regularly. It's got a little bit of frothiness to it, but it's basically just flat Pepsi. It's really expensive. It's about almost like $2 a can or something like that. So, but it's all right. I just want to do something interesting, right?
Okay, fun. I guess. Chad, what are you drinking?
I am going to be even more fun than that, and I'm drinking water. So, yeah, having a lot of fun.
I thought you at least had a Dr. Pepper Zero or something like that going.
No, I did, but it's done.
Can I guess yours, Jesse? Is it dragon fruit, cranberry?
No,
wild berry acai.
Oh, I do have one of those.
Oh gosh,
I do.
Isn't
Mike
it,
wins
isn't
the it, first game of the night?
Yeah,
isn't that's awesome? A win for Mike. That is White Claw Surf, Wildberry. Hilarious. It's pronounced acai.
I was just trying to think of some of the weirdest, like, flavored fruit drinks I've ever had. So, there you go.
Yes. So I'm doing the Wild White Claw Surf edition tonight. Currently working on a tropical pomelo smash. Next up is Wildberry Acai Smash.
Oh, it's
I only know that's how you. That is how you pronounce it. We sell it at
gosh.
I hate knowing that. I hate that I know that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to touch. I was like, sorry, I apologize. I was absent for the whole Watson conversation, the majority of it basically, but I'm not moving him unless somebody comes with a, you know, pretty substantial offer at this point, because, you know, your two, I guess, most likely scenarios is that he's suspended this year or he's suspended next year, right? And in the event that he's suspended this year, you're just basically, you know, I mean, it's no different than an ACL tear, but better because he's not injured, right? And he has the playbook and it's, you know, he's going to be fine. He's an elite quarterback. If the suspension does get stayed and it happens next season, right? Then you have an elite quarterback who is playing this season, you know, has long-term value because he's still young, and you have the capability to move him in season for somebody that go that that may need the points here and now. And you know you're still going to get a good return for him because he's, you know, still an elite quarterback. So it's not, they know that they're going to get a return in the future.
Right on.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Chad. I'm laughing at David Donaldson's comment about a Jesse drinking like a high school girl trying to fit in at the lake. But I was going to say, since we always kind of end with some good, like, real talk, I saw Watson moved for Field straight up. I feel like that's not enough. What do you guys
think? Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
I was just about to ask you guys, what about Lance? I offered Lance for him a couple places. So that's not bad.
I wouldn't blame somebody for doing that, but I'm not, I wouldn't do it personally.
I wouldn't do it either. Yeah.
So let's transition smoothly into a little segment that I'd like to call players that I'm scared shitless of. Right. Number one, Trey Lance. What do you guys think about him?
I'm fine with him. If I have him, I'm not trying to move him.
He looked terrible as a passer last year.
For me, like, and I've even heard, you know, I like the GM Shuffle podcast quite a bit. Like, this year's his rookie year, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, if he does terrible, if he tanks in value after this year, because people are like, oh, it's his second year, like, he's terrible, he throws more interceptions than touchdowns or something like that. Like, I think I'm going to buy him up. Like, they invested quite a bit in this kid, right?
Three
picks essentially to get him. So, I'm not big on moving him, especially panicking right now before he's even had a real game.
You're just talking yourself into panic stuff, right? If you're doing that.
Yeah. I feel like you are. I understand where it's coming from just based off of the camp news, but like, I just don't.
I haven't even heard
the camp news. Like, nothing.
I'm not doing this on camp news. I'm basing it on the fact that I think he's going to be terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't really have any,
I know,
you know, substantial information for that. I mean,
he's got tons of good weapons around him. So, like, I don't.
If there's one offense in the league where you can drop even an average quarterback in, and the offense will make him look better and put up, you know, Nick pretty Mullins decent production.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It does take a certain kind of average quarterback. He has to be decisive. You know, I just, fingers crossed. I'm not saying it can't.
Yeah. But So what is telling us that he's not that guy? Right. The only
I understand.
No,
I
but I'm just saying the only information that we have thus far is that the people who are making the decisions in the 49ers camp believe he can do it because they're telling Jimmy G kick rocks.
And he was exceptionally bad as a passer last year in the two games, I guess, that he played.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that means basically nothing.
Yeah.
No, and not nothing.
I mean, if Zach Wilson stopped after a second game, he'd probably be the worst quarterback of all time. Yeah, right? Like,
well, Trevor too.
Yeah, I mean, it means absolutely nothing.
I mean, jury's still out on both of those guys as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying is the jury's still out, right? We don't know if they're going to be good yet. So we can't say after two games that
they're all worth more than Davis Mills, who had a better season.
I haven't panicked too much. I only traded him in one place. I have a bunch of them. I probably have four or five shares. It's kind of annoying. Okay. So,
not much.
Yeah, out of 16 teams. So, you know, it's probably a little much. This is a rebuild. Complete rebuild. I traded him for Breece Hall and what will be the 201 or 202 because it's mine.
Yeah. I saw this in the chat and I kind of agree and disagree on both things, right?
Like, okay. Yeah, Lance, let's talk it out.
Like, for me, like, that's something I would sit on to be completely, especially if you've determined, which is interesting because I don't think your rostering there looks like a rebuild, but you said it was a rebuild. So, we'll go ahead and go with that, right? It's just you're like, oh, well, I'll wait for Breece to gain value and then, you know, sell him at his peak.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes wishful thinking, especially if someone knows that you're rebuilding by the actions that you're taking. And they're like, okay, well, like, I want Breece. And you're like, okay, well, this is his price. Well, no, I'm not paying that. I'll let a running back die on a non-contending person's roster. Like, I'm not saying
that'll take 6 years.
I just don't think you'll get what you'll be expecting.
You think I'll never get two firsts for him? Like two good, two like a two high firsts for him?
Maybe not. Not if he's not good this year.
Okay.
So,
all right, but so is it really the worst thing in the world that I have an RB1?
I'm just gonna interject here a little bit just because I disagree. So people are more worried in season. People are more worried about their needs than yours. Yeah. That's just what dynasty is, right? Like people are always trying to make their team better, their value more, you know, and get better players. If you have Breece Hall, right, and he plays well, somebody's going to come knocking on your door and say, okay, mm-hmm. give me him at least at cost. Nobody's going to, I mean, you're not going to have people coming in to try to get the top drafted rookie running back for Pebbles because they know that you're going to have at least one other team in that league that's going to be after him, right? And they think that A, either his value is going to increase, B, he can, you know, be productive on their roster and help them win. And, you know, them dying on your roster is not even going to be in the, you know, first few thoughts and during the course of them trying to make that trade. Like, I don't think that they're anybody's actually worried about, you know, waiting somebody out on players. Like, I don't think that's a thing. I mean, at least in my experience.
Okay.
And here's another little thing that I like to do is I already have Michael Carter, right? Not that I want to play the two or play the two off each other or anything like that. But when making a deal for a running back, it's really nice to be able to offer other running back to them.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Okay. And you end up getting another second where it's hard to get a second for Michael Carter. You know what I mean? Just on his own. Same thing with like Dalvin and Alexander Mattison.
Yeah.
Follow what I'm saying.
It's just, I know I'm in another league where there was a guy got his pick a while ago and he had a really bad season. So he decided he's going to blow it up and he's been blowing it up all season. And he keeps coming at me to get his first round pick back. And I'm like, why am I going to give it back to you now in August when I see you blowing it up, which is only in my view, increasing the value, unless you're going to give me some really good player. Like, no, I don't. At number one, I didn't think I need to make a move on that team. But that, I guess that's where the perception comes
from. Well, yeah, that can be difficult. You know, if you've already traded your picks and then you decide to blow it up.
Yeah.
It can be difficult.
Like, and I get why he wants it back, but I'm also okay. Yeah. Just holding it ransom. Be like, all right, well, if you want it back.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Let's pay for it. Right. Like,
yeah. I mean, when I took over an orphan in a league that you're commissioner and you happen to have the pick, you know, first round pick for that team.
Yeah.
You know, you held me hostage a little bit for it, but not too much.
Yeah. No, it's
the, I mean, you ended up getting Jamar Chase, you know, in a package deal. So,
yeah.
You know, but you just have to understand in your mind that pick's not yours. That pick is the other player's, you know, and it may be your position and you may determine where that pick goes, but it's not yours and you have to pay the fair value for it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm not worried about trading Breece Hall. And I will. Yeah. That's my strategy. Now, if my strategy was to trade for Breece Hall and keep him, you know, and then rebuild around him, that's, in my opinion, flawed. You know, I think all of us, none of us would really do that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. That's like buying JT as your only good piece and being like, all right, let's build this thing up over the next few years. Like, that's
right. I'll trade Breece and I'll end up, you know, getting multiple firsts and, you know, I'll get a quarterback and another piece out of it. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, what the dream scenario is, I trade him and Michael Carter for two firsts, two seconds. Also, it's an auction league. So that also kind
of a bunch of auction money or something.
Yeah, exactly.
The money's actually decided.
Yeah. All right. So I guess you guys have backed me off of my Trey Lance panic before I screwed up my teams too bad. I almost F-bombed there.
I mean, so like players, and maybe you do have a little bit of reason to worry, right? Like there's still so many unknowns with the player, but you know, there's a difference between
might not be a great offense, right? Like,
I mean, there's just a difference between, you know, a healthy worry, like, you know, just questioning the situation and panic selling, right? Like you want to say, okay, like, let me keep a share just in case this goes well. If I don't necessarily believe in the player, let me explore getting fair value across leagues and just see what I can get, rather than saying, okay, I need to sell, because I don't think that's the case with him.
Yeah. I just sort of put feelers out there to see what I could get. And once I got the one deal, I kind of pulled back on everything else. But the other deals, I was trying to get Watson for him, you know? So Lance, if I have Lance and I'm rebuilding, trading him for Watson is a no-brainer. He's already a stud, and I'm already not competing while he's suspended, so who cares?
Let me ask you guys an interesting question, because I feel like it's a question not a lot of people are thinking about. But are you guys personally putting any stock into the fact that Watson hasn't played significant time? A significant amount of time, and if he misses another 8 games, let's say, or another 10 games, and then comes out of the gate and is rusty for the rest of those 7 games, that his value does drop a little bit?
Not in the scenarios that we're talking about, because I think we're, in all the scenarios that we're discussing, we're talking about him being a cornerstone piece, but not something that we need right now. Right. So that's just a little more time that you have to wait. And if you're on a rebuild, or if he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not worried about it, because I think he will regain it.
No, but I just mean not in any specific scenario. I'm just saying,
yeah, just overall, like him, like his situation specifically. Like, well, just because he hasn't played in so long.
You're not holding him to then trade him once he comes back anyway. So if he loses value, who cares? He'll gain that back once he starts playing well, because he'll still be on your roster.
I'm personally not worried about it. Yeah. So the way I see it, his body has taken no hits for the last year and a half, right?
Yeah.
Which, when you think about, because I think about the same thing when we talk about guys like Alvin Kamara. Like, yeah, he's getting older, but a lot of his stuff is receiving, and he's not in the middle, you know, getting blown up all the time, right? So that's why I think he's gonna last longer than I feel like we've seen some RBs last in the past. So that's why I think with Watson, he's still super young. He was awesome in Houston, right? Like, he was doing it by himself with nothing around him. Yep. And he's actually got decent players around him in Cleveland. So, will it take him, could it take him 6 games to get back to it? Like, yeah, sure. But I don't think he's just going to, like, forget how to play football and be a middling, between QB1 and QB2. Once he comes back to playing, I think he'll be a top 12.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just thought we should mention it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's still got top 5 upside.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. All right. That's Watson. That's Lance.
Oh, or do you have one more that scares the crap out of you?
Yeah. One more. And then we got to do our camp guys, or we can do the game. Up to you guys.
Let's do a game.
Okay. So one more, Christian Watson.
Oh yeah.
So
I have zero shares.
I have a couple for you. Two or three. He's hurt and not establishing an early connection with Rodgers, which is everybody's concern, and then if Rodgers retires next year, is Christian Watson going to be, a good player with Jordan Love or whatever happens there? Are you guys scared of him?
No.
No,
no. Okay. I mean,
I'm not really invested in him. I never really liked him, so.
We don't know anything. Like, he's hurt. So many players are hurt right now. Yeah, he's not playing. He's a rookie. I mean, he has the rest of his career, right? Like, his career is not going to be defined by the next couple of months, right? Like, if you have a couple of shares, don't panic sell because he's hurt in the offseason, in his rookie year. But that's what I'm seeing on, like, Twitter and all this kind of stuff, and people saying, throw away Christian Watson and go get Romeo Doubs. And I'm like, Dobbs, sure. But, it doesn't have to be one or the other, We don't know what's going to happen with these players.
In all reality, have any of you all ever panic sold and it worked out?
No.
I don't know if I've ever panic sold.
I panic sold Tyreek when that video came out. And I think I got like 2 seconds or something like that for him, which, like, whatever, over the bridge.
No,
but that's
I did.
Like, I've never seen it work out to panic sell someone at their low. Like, I've never seen it work out. So like, that's why I don't do it.
This isn't a panic, but I did trade Deshaun Watson and Mac Jones for Trey Lance and Amari Cooper, who I traded for the 110, who I took Kenny Pickett with.
Okay, so Trey Lance.
Okay, I don't know how you Lance, remember all that, but
well, yeah, because I know. Right? I love my teams. I love my Jesus. Teams. These are all my children. So it's.
He remembers all that, but can't win a game on the show.
Oh, my children. So, yeah. Anyway, it was Watson and Mac Jones for Lance and Pickett. Which side would you guys take?
Say that again.
Deshaun Watson and Mac Jones for Lance and Pickett.
Oh, Watson and Mac Jones very easily.
Yeah.
Very, very easily.
That's the closest thing I can think of to a panic sell that I've ever
done. Yeah, I mean, like so many people panic sold, you know, Tyreek when you were talking about Mike, that was a very big thing. And then also Deshaun Watson with his whole thing, you know, I guess my take on it was with some of these guys for what they were going for when people were panic selling. I'm just like, you know, I believe in my ability and I'm, you know, I believe in my ability enough as a dynasty player to recoup the value if necessary, right? By other means. Like, I'm just going to hold on to the player and, you know, if he dies on my roster because he did something stupid in real life, so be it. You know, I feel good dropping him at the end of the day. But, you know, I feel like I can make enough necessary moves over the course of the season to at least recoup a good chunk of that value back. I don't see the need to just throw away players because, you know, their value could drop substantially and you need to save a first round pick worth of value that could, you know, miss anyways and you could lose, you know, by making the pick. Like, it doesn't make sense to me at the end of the day.
My 5 Calvin Ridley shares and I agree.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know. Those guys aren't going anywhere until at least, I don't know, the rookie draft next year or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have That's to be where I'm at too. I have a bunch of good.
Yep.
So
that's what I did with Akers, Dobbins, and ETN last year. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, right on. More often than not, they retain value. More often than not.
Yeah.
For me it's Juju. Sutton and I can't remember the other one, but I had another darling that I went out and got. I just traded Juju for Burks, Treylon Burks.
Oh, nice.
Juju and Naheem Hines. That was in P2, Patreon 2.
Nice.
So, I mean, hey, I think it helps both teams. That was with Neil because he's trying to win. He just traded for Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. Means he's going for it, right? So I think Juju definitely helps him more than Burks, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Mike, I think you need to jump in there and make a move too, because I have other guys for sale. You need to strengthen your game against Neil.
Yeah, I was looking at some stuff. I won't talk about Neil's team.
So one thing that I think is, you know, when we talk about like whole panic selling and all that kind of stuff, I think one thing that is important though, is that, you know, and it needs to be focused on more is being a buyer in those panic situations, because that more often than not works out, you know, especially with, you know, guys that are still, with their stuff still going on, like Calvin Ridley. Like, now is your time to buy Calvin Ridley. I mean, his stock is, I mean, I did a startup and God, I forgot what round he went in, but it was like, you know, the middling, you know, teens basically. Like, I mean, it's insane. It's insane. Yeah. I have no doubt that you could get him for.
Yeah. My 5 shares agree.
You know, I'm curious to see what he goes for in our RSO league. That'll be a fun bid.
Yeah, well, that one's going to be kind of interesting too, just because with you have the context contracts, of the contracts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I was thinking that if you could get him cheap, it might be worth the one extension that you have.
Yeah, if you can get him on a cheap 1 year deal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
Or if you can get him for a cheap 2 year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of my thought. But obviously a 1 year, if you don't use the extension, is worthless.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You ready for a game?
Yes.
Let's do
absolutely.
It.
What do we
all
got?
Right. Let's do it. So just so everyone knows where this is stemming from, I had some I just had some tight end thoughts recently, and I've been pretty bullish in buying some of the top tight ends recently. So tonight we're going to talk about just five tight ends. So we're going to talk about Kelce, Andrews, Waller, Pitts, and Kittle. All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave Hawk out of this. If anybody wants to say, well, why didn't you include him? Like,
I got it.
I'll do it when I see him, right? See it, right? So, but I just wanted to do some questions. All right. So if you have the answer, go ahead and just say your name. I'll see it light up first, and then you'll get one chance to answer. All right. Money's on chat for the game. So, all right. You guys got any questions? It'll be about these guys.
Okay, got my buzzer right here.
So obviously it's just going to be about these guys. Sometimes I'll be asking for
who dates. Are the five again? Can you say them one more time?
Kelce, Andrews, Waller, Pitts, and Kittle.
Okay, cool.
All right. All right. So before 2021, how many years in a row was Kelce the tight end one? Jesse.
Three.
Repeat the question one more time.
Oh, my God.
As he's... How many years was Kelce the tight end one prior to last year in a row?
Yeah, Chad's not on camera, so he's probably Googling. And did we lose Chad?
No, I'm here. I'm just trying to think of when his rookie season was.
Just Googling.
Four. Two.
I'm going to say
one.
Four.
Correct answer is five.
Five. Mike Kinney and Chat wins.
So until last year.
Mike, hey, don't put it in the chat, guys. We can see the chat.
Yeah, so Kelce since 2016, before last year, was the tight end one. Five years running, all right?
That's good. Crazy.
By the way, can we pause the game for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Kinney, who has been on every single one of our chats and every single one of our podcasts, just joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon today.
Yes.
Yesterday?
I thought he's been in it.
Everybody said that.
I thought
every
yeah, I thought he did too.
Person that I was like, "Hey, what? Welcome Mike. Thought you were
how
already
are we
here.
In here now, Mike." Jeez. Yeah, it was funny. So
huge warm welcome Mike. You know, thanks for your $5 a month, and trust me, it's worth it. We got to get you in some Patreon links.
Yeah, I know Mike, and he said you still got it wrong. I know because I saw it after I answered wrong.
All right, so love Mike it. Kinney, one, Chad, and Jesse, zero.
All right. Mike Kinney and Donaldson can be a team. We'll call Chat one of the teams.
All right, here's the next question. Out of the five tight ends that I mentioned, who had a season with the most targets among all five of them? Chad, or Jesse, sorry.
Out of all five of them?
Yep.
I feel like the easy answer is Kelce, so I'm going to go with a dark horse in Kittle.
And Chad.
It's Kelce, isn't it?
Nope.
What?
Is it Pitts?
It's Andrews, last season.
Oh, really? See, that's the one I didn't think it would be. I guess
Andrews had 154 really... targets.
Jeez.
Oh damn.
Kelce's had 150 before. So
that's the season I was thinking of was Kelce's 150. I didn't know that Andrews eclipsed it this past season. Shit.
Not to be confused. Yeah, Waller had 146. So a lot were really close, right?
Yeah.
Except for the guy I guessed.
And Kittle had 136. He had 136.
Okay, so I was
Pitts barely had 100. He had 110 last year.
So. Yeah, I thought it was Kelce's 150. I remember that was 2018. I had a lot of shares of him.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. What is the highest tight end finish for Darren Waller throughout his career? Jesse.
He was one. He was tight end one a couple years ago.
Chad?
Then it was two.
Could you give me the year that it was?
No, shut up.
No. He's only got a couple of really good seasons, so.
Okay, it's got to be two.
Is two, yeah. It's tight end two. All right. Yeah, it was the tight end two in 2020.
What's the score?
One. Yeah, it was the second. It was his second good year, right? Because yeah. I think his first one he finished the tight end three.
Yeah.
Oh, tight end three. Okay. And yeah, and then I remember he finished second after that.
Tight end two. Yep.
I don't remember anything.
All right.
you know how I remember that? Because remember when people were when Waller had his really good year as I guess tight end three, and then in startup drafts, nobody was wanting to pay up for him. Like he was going in like the seventh round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the seventh and eighth round next year too.
And then the next year he did really well, and then everybody was trying to buy him. That's how I remember that. But
yeah.
That's true. Yeah, and then last year he shit the bed.
Let's see here. What year was it the last time Travis Kelce had less than 1,000 yards receiving?
Chad.
Chad, go for it.
Oh, it was either 14 or 15. What? Can you tell me what his rookie year was? What year it was?
No.
No.
Damn it. 2015.
Chad's correct.
Damn.
2-0. Yep. 2015.
I know it was his sophomore season. I just couldn't remember if he was a 14 or 15 as a rookie.
That was his third year technically. I didn't include his rookie year was like nothing. Then his second and third year were very similar. So, yep. So yeah, last time been almost 7 years since last time Kelce had less than 1,000 receiving yards. All right.
You know what? You guys want to hear something crazy? Yeah. So I'm in two leagues with my dad, and my dad sold Kittle right before his breakout year. And we went back because he was like, damn, I also did this with Kelce, and I didn't believe him. Same league. He sold Kelce right before his breakout year, literally like, and it was both within like, you know, I think it was like 2 or 3 months of the season starting.
That sucks.
It was,
I think it's really impressive with Kelce considering he's kept that streak with two different quarterbacks. Granted, one of them's Mahomes, but like the other one was Alex Smith.
He was
decent in his own right, but like Kelce just still crushed it. Like no bump in the road or anything. It's pretty sweet.
So my first two dynasty moves ever were some of the worst you'll ever experience in your life. I traded, I think it was Debo for Kerryon Johnson right before the injury that ended his career. And then it was Diggs for Gurley. Still recovering from both of those.
Those
were my first two dynasty moves ever. Got an orphan. Gosh. My first dynasty team. I'll make some moves.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. You guys. So it's 2-0 Chad, right? I only got a couple more.
No, I only got one, right?
No, you got a...
Oh no! I got two. Yeah, you're right.
I feel like I should put
Kittle or Waller finishing.
I feel like I need to bust that. I need to bust that
marker or something.
This is it. I'm putting on the luchador
rally mask.
All right.
All right. Hey Chad, here's the answer.
All right, we're debuting the luchador.
Now I can hear. You all gotta go to the YouTube. Look at Jesse. All right.
Los Aguilas. Right.
All right. This is
from Chichen Itza, right? This is Luchador Mas Los Aguilas.
This is for this is gonna be like I want you to guess a number, but it's not gonna be like Price is Right exactly because it's okay if you go over. I just want to see who's closest. Okay. All right. Okay. So what is the most receiving yards that Mark Andrews has had outside of last season where he had 1,361 yards? So give me a number. Most. Jesse.
8,500.
What is that? 850? Yes. 850? Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna say 900.
All right, Jesse. 1 point for Jesse.
Luchador Los Aguilas.
852.
Yes.
Oh shit.
852 was the most shirts he ever had. So
yeah, you had to pull the old 851 trick.
Chad, yeah, right.
The cheapest move.
Yeah.
And Price is Right of all time.
So, I know. I was trying not to be a dick, but I mean, he already said we couldn't go over. So
I know it's very difficult for you.
I mean, we could go over.
Not to be a dick. So thank you.
yeah. No. Good job. Well, that was interesting, right? To jump that much is pretty big jump for old Andrews. That's why everyone's super excited about him.
Yeah, it is.
I know last year he didn't have a lot of but the year before he didn't have a lot of receiving yards.
No, he only had 701.
Yeah, his touchdowns carrying him basically.
Okay. All right. I've only got a couple more. I've got one more question. If Chad gets it, I'll have to figure out a tiebreaker if Jesse gets it. All right. So be on your game. How many touchdowns did Kyle Pitts have in 2021?
Jesse.
Dos.
I know this. Nope. Nope. It's one.
Chad, it is one.
Almost said uno.
Want to do the bonus question?
See.
Yeah, do the bonus question.
I bet Chad's going to know what it is. Where did that one touchdown occur?
Oh, damn.
Go ahead, Jesse.
New Orleans.
Nope.
I'm trying to think.
Come on, Chad. This is why I'll never forget this stat.
No, I know. I remember the game, but I'm like trying to. He was having a really good game. Yeah. Was it Washington?
No. It was across the pond in London.
The Jets. It was the Jets.
That was the whole thing, is he's never scored a touchdown in America. So he's ready to do that here too.
Yeah, so, it was the Jets. I remember that. Yeah, he had a crazy game.
So, yeah.
Chad wins as usual.
Yes.
El luchador keeps me from getting shut up.
That's good. Hey, so I do want to do this. Good game, guys. The reason why I brought this up is I wanted to talk some tight end, and not just value, but I guess kind of tight end outlook. And I think Kelce is absolutely going to smash this year, like crazy smash with Tyreek gone. So I've been buying a lot. I've been buying some Kelce. I guess some people thought I sold a little low in some areas, and some people thought I've sold decently high. So, and I don't know. I guess I just don't think Mark Andrews can repeat it. Like, call me whatever it is. I get it. He's what, 5-6 years younger than Kelce. I think he's a really good football player.
I do think his competitions for target, sir.
Yeah, not as I mean, yeah, his aren't as much.
He's going to get hyper targeted.
His and Kelce are almost the same, right?
Tough guy to stop.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But what are your guys' thoughts about the tight ends landscape? And are you buying any, or have you bought any Kelce? Or are you just like, nope,
because Cliff has to Kelce. Come. I bought Kelce early in the offseason. Also, Andrews, I thought, pre-discounted. I think if you tried to do that now, you'd have to pay through the teeth.
That was a good time to get Kelce, like right as the offseason started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you know, that's my patented, right when the offseason ends, it's a really good time to buy veterans. People are so down on veterans and you know, all they want is picks. And I got Kelce for like a first. You know, maybe a first and a third or something like that. And then Andrews, I got really cheap for like a couple of Debbie players.
Gotcha. Okay. Chad, what do you think?
Like, what do I think as a whole?
Yeah. Or, you know, Kelce versus Andrews stuff.
Kelce versus Andrews. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have Andrews at this point. I think that it is more likely than not that Kelce outperforms Andrews this year. The one thing that scares me about Andrews, right, is that you are basically relying on that, you know, touchdown prop to keep him up. You know, he got hyper targeted last year, but you know, they weren't like very, very efficient targets.
Yeah, and it was a mix of Huntley and Lamar, right? Yeah, so.
Yeah, which I guess Kelsey's hasn't ever really been hyper efficient in his targets either. He's just been hyper targeted, but he's been consistently hyper targeted, right? Like he's always in that 120 to 150 range. He's somewhere there. Mark Andrews, we just don't have that consistency there, but he also has the you know, the age factor with him being what is he, 26. Gosh, I don't know. 26.
Yeah, he's 26.
Yeah. So so yeah, I mean, you know, Kelsey, this is probably the last year that I'm comfortable having him on my roster, but if you have him at this point, then you probably should just hold on to him until he dies, because you know, you're not gonna get, you know, you're not going to get value that outweighs the production you're receiving if you have them on your roster.
Yeah.
Which if you do at this point, you're probably a competitor.
Yeah. And I mean, to be clear, obviously all of the teams that I bought them on were teams, most of them are where I lost in the semifinal or in the finals to be completely honest. Right. And so here, let me throw, now that Jesse's back, let me throw some of these trades at you. So this is a 10 team league. This one actually has no tight end premium. But I have a pretty stacked roster, and I got Kelsey, Chase Edmonds, and a 2023 second. Okay.
Like
and it. I gave up Waller, Evan Ingram, Elijah Moore, and a third.
And, I'm sorry, who was the second piece that you got again?
Chase Edmonds.
Just repeat the trade one more time.
Chase Edmonds, I got Kelsey, Chase Edmonds, and a 2023 second. Which is this switching, actually. This is actually one QB. It's switching to Superflex next year. Mm-hmm. And I gave away Darren Waller, Evan Ingram, Elijah Moore, and a third.
I think it's pretty even. This is a team that, like, you think you have a championship aspirations this year?
These are my starters. I have Matthew Stafford, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs,
Robinson,
Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Kamara.
I agree with the move.
You don't even have to finish. Yeah, it makes
sense. I agree with the move. So that's because Kelsey, Darren Waller is not Travis Kelsey when it comes to scoring points for one season. So that's the right move.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I like this. So here's another one where I think
I'm sorry. Go ahead. To cut you off, but real quick, Elijah Moore is a lot to give up. That's kind of like, I think everybody would rather have Kelsey than Waller. But Elijah Moore is a lot to give up, but if you're going for a championship, like with that roster that you have right there with all that depth and all those elite players, then absolutely the right move.
Yeah. I think that second could actually be high too for a 10 team switching to Superflex. I think it could be interesting. But
really good move.
And this one, looking back on it, I think I should have asked for this guy's first. And this is in a 1.75 premium. So I gave up Andrews for Kelsey and a second, 2023 second.
Wait, sorry, again?
I gave up Andrews. I got Kelsey. No, I got Kelsey. And a 2023 second, which I think could be mid to early.
Yeah, you should have gotten more, in my opinion. But so this is, you know what's interesting to me. I think a lot of people are very, very, very high on Andrews this offseason.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, right? Like, I mean, the targets were incredible last year, but at cost, I'd rather have Kittle than Andrews. For me this year, I think
Kittle could probably be hot cheap
when he's on the field. I mean, I've done maybe I think three, maybe four startups this offseason. God, that's a mistake, but anyways, I've done three, maybe four startups, and Kittle has consistently gone in the fourth and fifth round. So, and these are all tight end premium. One of them was a 0.75, I took him in the fourth. So you just look at his per game stats, and he outpaces Andrews. He outpaces Pitts. He outpaces Hockenson. And there's not much of a difference there's only like a point difference between him and Waller, who is in second.
What about Waller also has, I feel
what's
like
that?
With Lance, right? I mean,
Yeah, but I mean, the system is designed to get Kittle the ball in short area situations and let him do the work. Like, it's not, you know, Garoppolo wasn't, you know, throwing the ball all over the field, and Kittle was just making these fantastic catches 20 yards down the field. Like, he was.
Well, he was. Targeted. That's how he got hurt a lot, right? Was a lot of the Garoppolo balls that were kind of hanging in the air, and he jumps up and grabs them and gets the kidney shot.
When he came
I know
back,
there's like one or two of those injuries that were.
When he came back last year, though, he showed that he was a league winner.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's his points per game. I mean, if you just set it aside to, you know, just the per game average.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on par with his. I mean, everything he's done his career. Like, it's
people
it hasn't changed.
People forget how elite he is as an athlete and, well, as a. Just as a football player, fantasy player. However, I will remind you of something you said. Maybe a year ago, Chad. Maybe not even 10 months ago. George Kittle, as good as he is not Travis Kelce.
He's not.
Travis Kelce. He's not.
He's not. Yeah, he's not. He's not. But
so before, you know, I'm just saying, before we anoint him, let's just, you know.
Well, he's the next best thing, which is
Chad's talking about.
I don't think
cost,
he's the
right?
next best thing because he gets hurt too much. I mean, it's. Do you think that that's an aberration, or do you think it's going to continue?
No, because when we're talking about, we're not. I'm talking about the next best thing on a player to value ratio, right? Like,
okay, yeah, that's fair.
For what you're paying to get Kittle, he's the next best alternative to Kelce.
On a
right?
points basis.
And
on
I mean, if you're talking about as a player, the next best, he's the next best player, like the talent, just on a pure talent perspective. Yeah. Right. But, so,
yes.
I'm just saying, like, Kelce, yes, Kelce is Kelce, right? And when Kelsey's on the field, he's going to give you Kelce things. But Kelce is 32, which is 4 years older than Kittle right now.
Yeah. But he's Tony G. You know, that's how you have to look at Kelce. You know,
Kelce's not gonna do this for too much longer. And like I said, I mean, if you have Kelce, he's dying on your roster. But you know, Kittle is 28, and you're getting him in the late fourth round of startups. You know, at least in the startups that I'm doing.
Yeah,
so I'm just saying,
like, that late. That's a really good value. So, do you think you could get Kittle for a late 23 first?
No,
I think from the right team, I think you could. I mean,
because that's a good value, even if I have to throw in a second, you know, a late second.
It's tough to say because you know I'm not really sure where Kelce's at on like a trade perspective because I already have all the shares that I'm really interested in having. As far as Kittle goes. And startups are complete different beasts. Like, you can't just say, okay, he's going in the fourth. He should be worth a first round or a late first round pick, you know?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Sometimes they just don't measure up. No, yeah. I know. I'm just saying that it's hard to make that correlation. So I'm not really sure what he would be going for in leagues right now, just because I haven't tried and I haven't really looked into it. So I'd be lying if I just, you know, made something up. But yeah, I'd be interested to know as well.
Every time I try, it's a 49ers fan. So it's been impossible so far.
You know, right. So it's interesting thought to me, though, because there's definitely a huge narrative out there that who knows about Lance and too many mouths to feed in San Fran, which I don't ever buy into. I don't like that. I think good offenses are good offenses and I want a piece. Right. So if you're a contender and you're sitting on your 2023 or 2024 first and you can get somebody to bite for Kittle, you know, if somebody's selling off Kittle.
Absolutely.
It's really nice, especially if it's your second tight end. You know, if you already have an elite tight end and you're a contender, it's really nice if you don't have to depend on him and you can throw him in a, you know, tight end premium flex spot. That's a type of thing that is sort of like the nail in the coffin when it comes to playoff time.
The one tough thing about acquiring, you know, Kittle, your Kittles, your Wallers, your Kelce's, even your, I mean, obviously Pitts, your Andrews, and even the guys like Hockenson, is that once you get into a league, right? Once you get into a tight end premium league and you're actually playing games and winning championships or not winning championships, people are looking at this league and seeing what these teams are doing that have these tight ends.
Sure. Right.
And the teams that have those tight ends are looking at what they're doing on their rosters and saying, I'm not going to be the one that gives up this guy. Right. Because they're impossible to replace. I mean, Hockenson, not so much, but just off of perspective, I mean, perception, mm-hmm. like what people think he will be. Right. I don't fall into that camp, but you know, a lot of people do. So in startups, it's a little bit different because, at least in my experience, maybe it's because tight end premium is a little bit of a newer format for a lot of people. They go into the draft and tight ends seem to be a bit undervalued compared to what they actually do on your roster. I don't remember the exact numbers, but after my, the championship week was done, I went through and I remember putting it in the DWZ YouTube chat where, you know, everybody, all the content creators that were all in and stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember, putting it in there. It was just my stats that I put on my spreadsheet after every season. And it was something crazy, like 70, I think it was like somewhere around 73% or some 74% of the teams across all my leagues, which is roughly 24 leagues, right? It was about 73-74% of the teams that were in the championship game had one of the top five tight ends. You know, yeah. And it's I mean, mind blowing.
Now, do you mean one of the top tight ends by dynasty value or by points scored?
No, production.
Okay.
So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
And that's a tough thing is you see what Dalton they're doing Schultz on your roster. Dalton
Schultz is one of those guys last year, by the way.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the people that were in the championship and that won the championship had multiple tight ends. You know, had, you know, two of those guys, or they would have a guy like
in a premium
Andrews and Goddard or Kelsey and Goddard, right? Or something along those lines, a pairing like that, which seemed to work really well because those tight ends offer you in tight end premium such a high floor just based on their receptions alone.
Yeah, based on the 2020 season. Going into last year, all of the startups that I did, I was really big on tight end. I just ended up getting this reputation in a lot of leagues, tight end premium leagues that I'm in, that I'm like the tight end guy. I love tight ends or whatever. I don't love tight ends. I have no attraction to them. I just understand their value in these leagues and whether or not I'm going to start all of these players, they're still extremely valuable and I can sell them for a fortune and a half. You know, and I just, these guys are gold, and even the lower guys, you know, that have some upward momentum end up being worth their weight in gold too. Just going to throw out a name that I think is really cheap and has possibility to break out this year is Brevin Jordan. People are still sleeping on this guy. You can get him for a couple thirds. You know, you get him for like Uzama and a third.
Yeah, like, I remember reading some news though a few days ago. Not saying that he's not a good pickup, but
yeah,
I remember seeing some news a few days ago, and I think it was about Brevin Jordan that they said another tight end on the roster was going to be, you know, the primary tight end.
Really?
Yeah. The coach came out and said Jordan Akins.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Jordan Akins. Isn't he 100 years old though?
Yeah. No, I think he's fairly young, right? 28 or something.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't expect Jordan or Brevin Jordan, like, you know, my podcast partner on Dynasty Fever, Brian Ford, loves Brevin Jordan, thinks he's great and expects him to break out this year. I don't, but I just think he's cheap enough to stash on your taxi or on the bottom of your roster. And just a guy that, you know, not too different than Irv Smith, even though he didn't get the draft capital. He's just sort of a similar, smaller kind of athlete type of guy that if he stays healthy and he develops for a few years and they get a quarterback, you know, could end up being worth his weight in gold. And if you're only paying a couple thirds now, who cares if he doesn't hit? Yeah. Am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah. So my strategy when it comes to those tight end premium formats, if I don't have, I mean, even if I do have one of the top tight ends, right, I'm always looking to find replacements because tight end is probably the most difficult position to predict outside of those top guys, right? And, you know, some of the most inconsistent play on a week-to-week basis comes from those guys outside of that top group.
And you need to have, you know, Freiermuth or Knox or somebody like that as my second minimum.
Well,
right. Yeah, if I don't elites, I need to at least have a young guy with upward, you know, mobility.
Yeah, I guess guy. I guess more along the lines where I was going with it was, you know, when I don't have one of those guys, I'm going into every rookie draft and I'm saying, okay, after or in and around the third round, right, where you're you know, tight ends that are going in the second and third rounds of their rookie drafts of the NFL rookie drafts, I'm taking all those guys because that they're going for basically nothing, right? And I'm just hoarding all of them as long as you have deep rosters and taxi squads and stuff like that at your disposal.
Do you have any idea how much Trey McBride, Dulcich, Rucker, Bellinger, Otten, do you have any idea how many shares of these guys I have across my leagues this year? They were like all available in the third and fourth. Drew McBride at second. Okay. Yeah. Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it. I have McBride and he's probably my most owned player, which might be a mistake, but you know, maybe 60% of my leagues because I just didn't understand why he was available with the 210. Same with Freiermuth the year before. Why was he available at the 210? I didn't understand. I got a bunch of him too.
Yeah. It was Farrell Brown, not Jordan Akins. My bad.
Farrell Brown?
Yeah.
Oh. So. Okay. Well, I'm hoping that's, you know, coach speak to inspire a young guy to play better. But I still believe in the talent, and I think it might take, you know, at least another year to break out.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Farrell Brown, then, you know, Brevin Jordan's probably going to get the majority of the, you know, third down, you know, true passing down reps. But, yeah.
Tight end. All right. It just turned into a tight end premium talk.
Well, yeah, that was the point of the game, Jesse.
Right on. I love it. I forgot about the game. We had the debut of El Luchador.
Yeah.
I've been waiting. I've been sitting on that, Mike. I didn't want to debut it while you were gone.
So, that's okay. We'll see if he can pull out a win next time.
Lucky you, Mike. yeah, so next week we got some real exciting stuff going on where, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, really delve into the process of building a strategy and all of the considerations that we go through personally and trying to develop a strategy for our specific leagues, right? Because so often a dynasty in, you know, podcasting and stuff like that, people are really just talking about face value in a vacuum kind of transactions. And we want to get into the real meat of things and say, okay, we want to do less telling you what to do next episode and more talking about how to develop a strategy for your specific situation because situations can be so different across leagues.
And I'm not sure how it was for you guys when you guys started Dynasty because I think I want to say I started 2019. And I remember early on when I was trading and stuff, I would make trades and then I would post on Twitter and let MFL retweet it to, you know, get that good feeling of, hey, did I make a good trade or did I make a stupid trade? And now over the years, right, I feel like every time somebody asks me a trade now, I'm like, well, you got to tell me what you're doing. Like, what's going on in the league?
Right.
Is there a crazy tight end premium? Do you think you're a top three team? Do you think you're a bottom three team? You know, and that's where some of it comes from. So just to kind of preface it with, you know, I know the feeling and now I'm like, well, I don't get any satisfaction from telling people, oh, hey, like, what do you think of this trade that I just did to make myself feel better? I'm like, well, I did this trade because I feel like I've learned something over the past couple of years. So I'm anxious to share it as well.
I mean, I post brag trades sometimes, mostly just to you two, mostly just in our chat.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they're DWZ trades, and I don't want to call anybody out anyway, you know, in a group chat, but and certainly not on Twitter. But I will, most of the time when I post a trade that I made, it's, I want to know that I just get taken, you know, because I don't always know. I'm a lot of times I'm going by feel. Like, Mike, let's go over an offer that you made me today that I was conflicted on. So you offered me Javonte for
Russ. Straight up. Yeah.
Straight up. And I'm in a rebuild. Right. While I understand that the DTC value is roughly similar, I don't agree. You know, I think that there are a lot of things that can happen with Javonte's season that could cause his value to either flatten or go down. I'm not buying into the 70-30 split or whatever they're talking about right now. I don't care. Melvin's a really good back, and he didn't show signs of losing a step last year. Whereas I think Russ could gain value. So that's why I didn't take the deal. I didn't think that my request for a second and a third on top of it was outrageous. Maybe it was a high ask, but I don't think it was outrageous. What were your thoughts?
So the reason why I would disagree is because I don't think Russ can gain a whole lot of value. Even if he has a fantastic season, he'll be a year older. He'll be 36. He's going at I would probably say the 1-2 turn is pretty general for a super flex league of where I've seen him go in startups, right? And Javonte could blow the doors off the season and be the JT of 2022. Like that is in his realm of possibilities. He could also have a 50-50 split and finish as an RB2 again. Even if that happens, I think he'll lose some value. I don't think he'd lose value in that situation
because he will get the boost at the end of the year if he stays healthy all year, which is a huge if for a running back.
Yeah.
This is probably his last year.
Yeah.
He's not coming back again, right? So he'll get the boost by he's finally getting the job, whether they bring in another back or not. There'll still be a period of time. There'll be a window where he's looked at as the Denver guy. However, I think you're underestimating Russ. And because like right now, Russ, when you try to trade Russ, and I know this because I'm trying to trade Russ, you can't get end of first round startup value for him.
No.
People aren't paying it. Once he's in season scoring those points, they will. So as a seller,
maybe
I'm not looking at him long term. I'm looking at him as opposed to selling now for what you offered to selling within the first, you know, five games of the season when he's scoring points and people are like,
yeah,
follow what I mean? And more willing to pay what his actual value is. Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Chad, what do you think of all this?
I think there's not many situations that I can think of where I would be willing to trade Russell Wilson for Javonte Williams at this point in time. But, you know, I mean, both have the potential for value rises. I think Javonte Williams has the potential for a much higher value rise.
Agreed. Yes.
But, I mean, I don't think that's worth the risk at this point. And this is all just in a vacuum, which is, I mean, you know, I'm going to say it again. Some of the stuff we're going to talk about, you know, next week when we start talking about all these different considerations you can take. So maybe there is a situation out there for your very specific league where it makes sense for you to take Javonte Williams over Russell Wilson. And anybody that tells you that's a bad trade, maybe in a vacuum, but we don't play dynasty football in a vacuum. So
nope. And in my specific situation, I would only be acquiring Javonte to trade him at a future time. Like I'm rebuilding. So I'm not rebuilding around a running back, especially one that's been in the league for 2 years already. So I'm rebuilding around other players. So I would only be trading him to retrade him. So if I'm not really getting anything on top of him, you know, I'd rather just wait and trade my player for what I want, you know, rather than have to make another trade.
Yeah. Cool.
Makes sense.
All right.
We'll figure it out next week.
All right, cool.
Lock it up.
All right. I guess this is it. So tune in next week for Masterpiece Dynasty.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.